to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Left Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 124 of the Left Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the professor, Brandon Crowd. Hope everyone had a great weekend. I personally spent a lot of time behind the grill this weekend, which was awesome. Had some friends over Saturday night, which was fun. Friday night, met the locals, as we tend to do. And Sunday, dialed up 500 miles of racing, went and played some trivia. And I got to tell you, I cannot wait to hear the PETM podcast this week, to hear their stories from Dega this past weekend. And boys, this siren's for you and for all the Chase Elliott fans out there. How awesome was that for Chase Elliott to get a win at Talladega? Very cool, very exciting. Can't wait to get into the racing here in just a little bit. So I got to tell you guys, I was so excited this month when I was able to get all these truck guys lined up. Didn't know it at the time. Had hoped that it would have worked out the way it did, which was awesome. You guys know how much I love the trucks. I know a lot of you do too. It's so awesome that these guys in the truck and the Xfinity series and even a couple of the Cup guys take some time to call into the show. And, you know, I said my goal was to keep the trucks alive during the off month. And the fact that I was able to deliver just makes me so happy. If you guys missed any of these, go back and at least listen to the interviews. Get to know some of these guys a little bit more. Kicked things off for truck month, basically, with Grant Enfinger on episode 121, Tyler Ankrum on 122. Last week, Spencer Boyd, Gustine, and Tyler Dipple on episode 123. And this week, here, episode 124, Todd Gilliland. I am so pumped. It's been a lot of fun this month talking to these guys. It's incredible. And it's also crazy to think that MIS is just a little over a month away. And I can tell you, I've already started planning a bunch of stuff with interviews coming up leading up to MIS and working on the MIS show. There's going to be some awesome things in quotation marks that are going on, and I am super excited about that. So the countdown to MIS is almost upon us, which is awesome. Everyone, make sure you go check out Michigan Sports and Entertainment. Very excited to be a part of that podcast network. It's been a lot of fun getting to know some other Michigan podcasts, sports and entertainment wise, which is very cool. But before I kick things off, I was just curious if anybody out there could tell me where the start finish line is at Talladega. Nothing? Crickets? Crickets? Okay, fine. All right. I had to. I'm sorry. All right. Big show lined up today. So not only will Todd Gilliland be on, but resident weatherman Aaron Studwell and Brian Newdorf will be on for a joint weather segment along with talking some racing from this past weekend at Talladega. We'll talk the Xfinity and Cup Series. Got your social media shout outs. And we'll get the weather for Dover from Aaron and Brian. Got your lucky dog lap down picks back this week now that we got some racing. And, of course, fantasy to close it out. Big show for y'all tonight. Let's get things rolling. All right, for the last time for a minute, there was no truck race to recap from this past weekend. So how about I get Mr. Todd Gilliland dialed up, talk some trucks and his current season with Kyle Busch Motorsports. Lap Traffic Nation joining me on the line, making his first appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast. He is the driver of the number 4 Toyota with Kyle Busch Motorsports. He is also the winner of the General Tire 200 from this past weekend in the ARCA Series at Talladega. Mr. Todd Gilliland. Todd, welcome to the show, man. How's it going?
It's going good. Thank you for having me on the show.
Absolutely, man. Anytime. So let's real quick, let's talk about the win from this past weekend in the ARCA Series driving for your dad. How cool was that?
That was a lot of fun, you know, kind of getting back with my old team. He's got a lot of the same guys over there that helped me win Toucan and West Championships. So it's always fun to go over there with those guys, kind of relax a little bit in the ARCA Racing Series. And, you know, anytime you can get a win, it's a good thing. It's been a long time for me since I've been in Victory Lane. It feels like over a year. So definitely way too long for me. And if anything, just a little bit of confidence booster going into the summer.
Well, DW says cautions breed caution. So hopefully wins will breed wins for you with this recent win there.
That's what I'm hoping for, you know. Momentum in NASCAR seems like it's one of the biggest things. So now we just need some fast trucks, and we'll be on our way.
You know, I think Tony Stewart would attest to that 100% about the momentum. Always seemed like summer months, he would just crank it up there a little bit. You mentioned, you know, running with your dad and all that. I had Tyler Akram on a couple weeks ago with DGR. Great guy. It seems like that's just an awesome organization over there.
Yeah, the truck stuff has definitely come a long ways, and that's been kind of hard for me because my dad's always been there. He's spotted for me in K&N, and then this year he's got a little bit of a more busy schedule with all the stuff they've got going on over there. But it's cool to see them doing what they're doing, but definitely focus on their own stuff at KBM.
That's awesome. So it's been a long month without trucks. I'm ecstatic for trucks to be back in action this weekend at Dover. How excited are you to get back to the track? And what have you and the team been working on this off month here, basically?
Yeah, we've been going to the simulator a lot, even for the next three races right in a row, Dover, Kansas, and Charlotte. So from basically here on out, it's wide open all summer, and you know, we don't have that much off time in between. So I'm really looking forward to it. You know, the first kind of quarter of the season is done. Not really, I don't think, number wise, but just feels before like the long break, and then you know, basically from here on out. So that's a lot of fun for us, and you know, we're just trying to get everything ready for hopefully not to tear stuff up, but just for the future.
Fair enough. All right. So before we get into the nuts and bolts here, I got to ask if you could maybe point me in the direction of someplace I might be able to sign up for dance lessons and learn how to floss.
Ooh, dude, that's personal only, man. I YouTubed that, and I've must have been pretty good at it because a lot of people have been saying stuff about it.
I had to throw that in there. I laughed real hard when I saw that. That was fun.
For sure.
All right. So you've raced with a lot of success in both K&N series, a couple ARCA races here and there, now full time with KBM. What got you to the start of your racing career? I read on doing a little homework and prep work. Is there something about a Barbie Corvette that helps start your racing career?
Yeah. You know, obviously just being around it my whole life. And then apparently I got a Barbie car or something, and it was all pink, but then I wouldn't drive it till they painted it all black. So I think that was the first thing. I made them put extra batteries in it, and so it would go a little bit faster at least. And, you know, from there, I learned probably how to do some donuts and make my mom mad. And ever since then, it hasn't stopped.
That's awesome. What was the transition like for you going from, you know, like the ARCA, the K&N series, some of the older modifieds to the trucks? It seems like it's been an easy adjustment because you've got 30 truck races in and 14 top 10. So apparently you like the truck.
Yeah, it's actually been a little bit more difficult than I thought. You know, the trucks are definitely hard to race, you know, around other people. You get really tight, really loose. And honestly, the results haven't been there. So we just need to keep working on it. You know, you can never give up, and that's what it's all about. You know, when it gets hard, you just got to keep pushing through it. So that's what we're going to try and do. And, you know, this is pretty much a really important season. So we got to make the most of it.
Absolutely. Talk a little bit about what it's been like racing with your dad on the track. You've been on the track with him about five or six times over the last season and a half or so. Your dad won the pole at Talladega last year, and then you followed it up with the pole at Martinsville. What's that like, being able to race with your dad on the track?
That's really cool. You know, especially at the super speedway races where if he's behind me, I feel like I got a friend, you know.
And sure,
even at Martinsville, he's kind of a teammate, even though he isn't, you know. So it's just really cool to have someone to talk to with a lot of experience in the trucks, especially recent. And, you know, a lot of people that have retired and don't do it anymore, you can talk to them, and their experiences aren't really relevant, you know, because they haven't been in trucks in years or anything. So for him to be able to have a lot of his old experience from the cup cars, as well as, you know, what he feels now in the trucks, helps me out a lot.
Sure. Talk a little bit about, you know, your owner, Kyle Busch, what it's like racing for a guy like that is just dominant behind the wheel no matter what he gets in. What's the mentorship like there with you and the rest of KBM from Kyle Busch?
Yeah, he's definitely really intense, but like you said, he is dominant. So it's really hard to follow up once he's in a truck. So that's part of the good thing and bad thing. He really gets in and shows everyone just how dominant it can be. So it kind of takes away the excuses as a driver. But at the same time, there's so much to learn from him. And even in those races he's won, there's been some things that he's wanted to make better. And that's what it's all about as a car owner. He gives us the right stuff to be able to win and compete. And that's what it's all about. As well as being able to watch us. He can see 1,000 different things that we do wrong or different than him.
That, you know, it's kind of where I was going with the next one. You know, Detroit Tigers fan Miguel Cabrera says, you know, sometimes a fastball at 100 miles an hour looks like a beach ball coming down. I would have to imagine Kyle Busch can just see things that most naked eyes just can't pick up, and is just able to do so much with that.
For sure, you know, and that's the crazy thing. I feel like if I've ever had a truck that was really good and I felt really happy with it, you know, he would probably get in the same truck and say it's horrible. And,
sure.
you know, that's how he really gets better, and that's how he dominates races. He doesn't he's never satisfied with good enough, and that's what it's got to be.
Absolutely. All right, so we are headed to Dover this weekend, the Monster Mile. I know the Monster Mile and the Truck Series can be a love-hate relationship. You've got a couple races there at Dover. Are you excited about going to Dover, just knowing the monster and the beast that's coming up? Or what's your take on the Monster Mile?
The racetrack is really fun. But like you said, I definitely have a love-hate relationship with it, because a few times we've been fast and we've had issues, and even last year in the trucks, it was one of my first few races is being full time, and we were running really good, and then we had a battery problem and got us behind a lap down, and I don't know, I think we still finished 10th in that race, but we were running top three the whole day. So I feel like we've had speed there in the past, but it seems like always something happens. So hopefully we can just have a clean race this time, you know, run top three, top five all day, and maybe put ourselves in position to win at the end.
Fantastic. All right, one more to get you out of here. Is there any track over the summer, you know, the Truck Series goes to some unique tracks, Eldora, some of the road courses. Is there any track that you've got circled that you're really pumped to get to?
Well, kind of a basic one is Iowa. I've always loved Iowa and K&N, and I ran an ARCA race there as well as trucks. So that place just seems like it's always really fun racing. You can move around all over the racetrack and be really fast, and at the same time, you're going slow enough that you don't get affected by the air as much. But like you said, I also had tons of fun at Eldora last year. It was my first time on dirt, and we ran pretty good. And also the road course, we ran really well. So I think just from here on out, I'm super excited to just be in the truck every week.
Absolutely. There is lots to be excited about in terms of the races that are coming up. Get this month-long off break done with. It's in the rearview mirror, looking straight ahead for the rest of 2019. Tell everyone where they can follow you at on social media.
Todd Gilliland _ on Twitter and Instagram, and then Todd Gilliland on Facebook. So definitely follow along.
Awesome. Lap Traffic Nation, big thanks to Todd Gilliland, driver of the number four with KBM. Thanks so much for coming on the show tonight. Good luck this weekend at Dover, and hopefully talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Absolutely. Very cool to talk to Todd Gilliland there. Exciting stuff going on at KBM. I couldn't imagine. You know, Kyle gets a lot of flack, you know, from running these races and going out there. But man, if you get to learn for the best, that's pretty cool there. Again, big thanks to Todd for calling in. Truck Standing, Stuart Friesen, Grant Enfinger, Ben Rhodes, Johnny Sauter, Brett Moffitt, Matt Craft, and Austin Hill. Todd Gilliland wraps out the top eight. Hasn't changed much, has it? All right. You guys know it gives me great joy to say this. The trucks will be back in action this Friday, May 3rd at Dover. 5 o'clock Eastern start, so leave work a little early. Crank up Lap Traffic on the way home and tune in to the trucks. Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line. I'm very excited about this. The first, he is the resident weatherman here on the Lap Traffic Podcast. You know who he is, Mr. Aaron Studwell. Sir, how are you?
I'm doing well, and yourself?
Fantastic. Thank you very much. Also on the line, making his second appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast, he is Southern Idaho's chief meteorologist with KMVT News, Mr. Brian Newdorf. Sir, welcome back. How are you?
Well, it's about damn time, just to say that out loud.
Well, let's see. It's about damn time for the second time.
Oh, wow.
Got it.
For the second time, yeah. Well, you know, hey.
Oh, man.
This has been it's been talked about me coming on for a long time this season. I'm just kidding.
Listen, hey, I'm not lying when I say I've got, like, the next 6 weeks booked already, which is very exciting for my end. But, yeah, and it's a good problem to have. So I apologize it took so long, but I am very happy that you're both here.
Now I feel bad. Now I feel bad that a big name could actually have this spot.
No. This just shows us where we rank in the NASCAR hierarchy. He's starting with us, and then everybody else is going to be compared to us here on out.
I love it.
Well, that's the goal, to make this the most awesome podcast ever.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, now, see, I like that. That'll get you on
now
a third time in the next
Junior's
week.
On, and everybody's going to check it out, listen to the whole thing, figure out you're lying.
All right, guys. Before we get into some NASCAR and Talladega talk, Lap Traffic Nation, you got three Big Ten sports guys on the line. You know we got to talk some Big Ten sports. First off, Brian, congrats on your boys making it to the Elite Eight. And, man, what a game against Virginia.
You have to bring that up, don't you? No, it was a great game. It was a great game. The fact that we lost to the national champions means something. And we could have beat them, too. I mean, this was an incredible season because for those of you who, you know, you Big Ten fans there, we were not projected to be in the top five of the Big Ten, let alone, you know, making the tournament.
That's the beauty of the tournament, you know. It really can be a hot streak away from making it to the Elite Eight or the Final Four.
True, but also let's not forget we share a title, the Big Ten regular season championship. So I'm going to put that out there as well.
Well, speaking of college football, we had some spring games a couple of weeks ago. Aaron, maybe you can help me with this because I had saw the story, I forgot who it was, but. Michigan had a top recruit decommit, I think I saw last week or the week before.
Yeah, I think he was odd because I think he's the one who's an offensive lineman who's going to wind up going to Alabama. Well, I think he's going to probably wind up going to Alabama.
Okay, yeah. I thought it was a lineman, and I knew it was a Southern school. So, yeah, that's probably it. But
and it's odd because when you're talking about it, the offensive coordinator for – Alabama is now Michigan. Offensive coordinator is in Josh Gattis. So maybe he just didn't like get along with Gattis, or and I'm just totally speculating here.
Yeah. Cause that, it wouldn't make sense. I don't know, but, how about Chase Winovich getting drafted by my Patriots? I was very excited about that.
Yeah. He's a Patriot. I mean, he is a guy who, he almost fits that. That's like Devin Bush is a Steeler.
Yeah.
And he is going to fit that role and fit that defense. Chase Winovich is just that high energy, high motor guy that is going to fit perfectly into the Patriots system.
Absolutely. And Brian, man, I still cannot get over Purdue's win over Ohio State this year. I will tell you, it was a Saturday night game. I was sitting at home. It was halftime. I'm like, I can't sit here. I walked up to the sports bar just to be around people because I knew the place was packed, and just to be in an atmosphere with sports fans in Michigan to watch OSU get crushed, because we can't do that apparently. But it was nice to see someone else in the Big Ten do that.
Well, it's nice to know. At least you guys are talking to a coach or a team whose coach has a winning record against Urban Meyer.
Burn.
You're right. I mean, this is the life of a Purdue fan. I mean, I don't think it was. I mean, even after, like, I think the run up the middle and we're, you know, up, most Purdue fans, until that clock hit zero, we still thought we were going to lose that game.
I believe it.
was like, okay, this game's not over. That's how it felt even with the Villanova game in the NCAA tournament. We're like, we're beating the defending champions and we're beating them big. No, we can still lose this game. You know, that's just the life of a Purdue fan.
I know the pain a little bit. I'm with you there. Brian, I don't know if I asked you this the last time, but I don't remember. I know you went to Purdue. What took you out to Idaho? Is that where you were from originally,
job.
Or is that where the job took
job.
You? Job, okay.
That's what the job took, and the job is probably going to take me away from Idaho.
Oh, wow.
I didn't renew my contract. So who knows, the next time you have me on, I maybe have a different title and a different location. So that
projects to be February of 2020.
What's that? Oh,
I said that projects to be February of 2020. Yeah.
The next time you'll be on the show.
That's true.
That took
that's
me a
true.
Minute to get that. That's
me too. That was kind. you think I'm going to be on that soon?
all right. So let's talk the NFL draft. The Lions doing what the Lions do. They go out, spend money on a tight end in free agency. They draft a tight end with the 8th pick in the first
round.
Can
I at least interject the fact that you guys, when you started talking Big Ten football, you overlooked the Purdue team? I'm just saying, besides the Ohio State game. We did keep our coach, and we did break a streak, sadly, of now this is not like a Michigan streak, but up until this, we had 21 straight years of a Purdue player being drafted, which for us is actually kind of a big deal.
That is pretty cool.
But this is also the end of the Hazel era at Purdue, which we would rather soon forget. So with Brom being there, I think we'll start new streaks.
Well, hey, I don't know. Aaron, I feel like we're taking a few shots here. I don't know.
Oh, I'm happy with the Redskins draft. I'm good with that.
Yeah. Hey, Bosa, right?
Bosa went to San Francisco. Dwayne Haskins.
Haskins, that's who it was.
Who
yes.
doesn't know what the league is thinking, and I would tend to agree with that. And then trading up for a Montez Sweat in the first round.
Yeah, no, they, like I said, I'm still dumbfounded by the Lions. Tight ends. Oh, my God.
It's not even tight ends. It's just more who do they pass?
Right.
Who is still in the draft?
Yes.
That you're saying this guy's better than, and fills their need because. Who did Buffalo pick first round? And it was.
Now you're asking way too many questions.
No. Hold a second. I want to look it up real quick.
There was a lot of alcohol involved.
Ed Oliver. Yes. Yeah. And because it was the pick right after the Lions. You're passing on. Okay. And I want to. He's another U of H. I'm not going to say he's an alum. I'm not sure he's graduating. Player. Who you know, you may have to question his character a little bit,
sure,
for what he did to the program, but you can't tell me the Lions don't need a defensive tackle of his caliber.
Sure, no, I'm with you. When Josh Allen went right before us, I thought for sure that was when the Lions were going to negotiate a trade and trade down. I think Allen would have been, you know, a key player right off the bat, and when he went off. That's when but everyone said, no, they're going to take the tight end. And sure enough, they took the tight end.
Well, yeah, they said that mockingly.
Yeah, no,
they didn't mean it.
Brian, I know Idaho obviously does not have a pro NFL team, but do you have one that you root for? And how did they do?
Well, I think they did fairly well. I haven't followed much. Now, I'm from Indianapolis, so I'm a Colts fan.
Fair enough.
So that is the team I was following, and they seemed to get what they wanted, defense and speed. So that seemed to be what they were drafting. I wasn't paying attention. This weekend was very busy since I was away from home. I had been in Boise for several days. But it seemed like I did read some stuff this morning. Most people are giving the Colts a B grade as far as the draft. Not only do they need a pass rush, so that seems to be the speed and the defense is what – it seems like the Colts were going after. So overall, from what I've seen, most people seem to be fairly content with what the GM, the fairly new GM of the Colts, he pretty much said, this is what we're doing, and they went out and did it.
Fantastic. Well, hey, the Lions, I think, did what everyone expected them to do. So I'll leave it at that.
We'll just have to double back on this conversation later in the year and see where our teams are doing and see where our rookies are doing.
I will be very, very happy to do that. All right. Let's talk a little racing from this past weekend. The Xfinity and Cup Series were at Talladega. Tyler Riddick, Stage 1 winner. Noah Gregson, and the Stage 2 winner. And Tyler Riddick picks up a hell of a win on Saturday afternoon. This was the third Dash for Cash race, which saw its third different Dash for Cash winner with Tyler Riddick this week, joining Bell and Custer. So that was pretty exciting there. Guys, Aaron, I think you and I talked about it a little bit last week. I don't remember if it was on air or off air. In terms of plate racing, I have a love-hate relationship with it. What are your guys' plate racing? Do you guys are you pro or con with the plate racing?
You love to hate it because you have to admit that was some good racing this weekend. And also, the other thing I want to throw into the Dash for Cash and the Xfinity.
Yes.
Great Galding.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Get your eyes on your own notes there, sir. Get your eyes on your own paper.
Hey, I have to thank y'all for installing the camera over your shoulder.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's the whole package or we've kind of gone away from the very restrictive plates
right,
where you now have the tapered spacers and you actually have a bit more throttle control with them and less horsepower reduction. And then, oh my God, that spoiler.
Looks
like a bread slicer.
Oh, I'm with you. Brian, what are your are you a plate racing fan?
I think it makes it more interesting. I mean, obviously, where other races and other tracks, you have there's strategy. It seems like, and now they're obviously, from what it sounds like, and again, for full disclosure, I did miss Talladega this weekend because it was with celebrating 18 years of my twins.
Congratulations.
So thank you. And kind of celebrating last week, at least from a dad standpoint and an alumni, one of the twins is going to Purdue, got in and got accepted.
Oh,
so
fantastic. Fantastic.
So I watched and listened to it a little bit. It sounded like there wasn't really a big one. Overall, from some of the stuff that I looked at leading up to our discussion, it seems like most people liked it overall. And obviously with Chase Elliott's win on the Cup side, you know, that's also huge. The fans really are wanting to see him do well. And you have somebody other than some of the teams that have been winning up until this point. You have Hendricks and Chevy. So that also adds a little bit more to it.
Absolutely.
That's a real good point. That's a huge point.
Yep.
And I saw a Gluck survey, 91% of the respondents to the point I saw that.
Yes.
I thought it was a good race.
I thought the weekend as a whole was really good. I think the negative impact on social media, which everyone's negative on social media, it seems like it's very hard to stay positive and not lose your mind. I try to ignore most of the negative stuff out there, but it did seem like there was a lot of positive talk. We were talking before we hit record here. I personally think the racing itself was much better on Saturday. And I thought Saturday's Xfinity race was going to steal the show up until Chase Elliott's win, which obviously dominated for good cause and, you know, good reason, of course. But I really enjoyed the Xfinity race. There was passing on the track. Everyone was able to kind of behave themselves and keep a handle on things to avoid a real big one on Saturday. Sunday, we got a couple mini ones, but we'll get to that here in just a minute. But like I said, you know, I have a love-hate relationship. But the fact we got to see guys like Earnhardt and Galding up there racing their hearts out for their best finishes ever. You know, that's my love for plate racing. Like the mere fact that you get to see some guys go out there and compete up front. It's just a matter of as soon as that seems to happen, as soon as it seems like, man, hey, could Great Galding get it done? And bam, that's typically when the big one happens. But I think it was awesome that Galding was able to finish second. I'll just hit here a couple notes. On the final lap, basically, two to go. Reddick was blocking high and low. I thought he was going to throw his car into the wall a few times. That's how quick and fast he was jerking it up and down the track. And Gaulding made a hell of a bid for it on the last lap. But Riddick, who ended up restarting stage three in 34th after winning stage one, was able to hold on and bring it home. But what I think is really cool is that the Dash for Cash, the final Dash for Cash race next week at Dover, has some rookies involved in this with, or not rookies, but a couple guys you wouldn't expect to maybe be up there. Gaulding being one of them, who will compete for $100,000. You got Reddick and Bell going for their second Dash for Cash win, and you got Gaulding and Briscoe going for their first. I could not imagine if Gaulding is able to finish ahead of those three guys at the Monster Mile. That would just be huge for that team.
Yeah, he actually made a comment about that too. As you say, $100,000, and it's a lot of money, but how much it would mean to that team.
Absolutely. And what the crazy thing is, you know, right now Gaulding is on the outside looking in from the cut line in terms of the standings. He is currently 14th. I couldn't imagine if he'd have been able to play spoiler, pick up that one more spot. He's still out from a points perspective in the top 12, but that win would get him in.
Exactly.
You know, that's huge with how the playoffs and all that are set. I know it's early to be talking playoffs, but that's okay.
No, and it's a standpoint too, a sponsorship. And yeah, now this is not necessarily the family or a family business we're being a sponsor, but if you're in the playoffs, you're going to get a little bit more press. You're going to be on camera more, and it's going to be worth it more to the advertisers.
Absolutely. All right, boys, let's move over to the Cup race at Talladega on Sunday. Chase Elliott picks up the stage two win and the win for the race. All four Gibbs cars started at the rear for unapproved adjustments, and that impacted them a little bit. Kyle Busch, for example, only able to finish 10th, and the number three of Austin Dillon on the pole. Pretty iconic to see the number three starting the race for Talladega. Guys, what were your overall thoughts? Brian, I know you didn't see too much of it. You heard a little bit about it, but give a little bit more take on what you heard on the radio there.
Well, obviously, it's breaking the streak of the teams that have been dominating. So to see Hendricks not only win, but then finish second as well. And Chevy wasn't going to make the mistake of, like, Daytona, you know, having these secret, you know, pairings, if you will, with other teams and stuff like that to have a dominant. So, you know, maybe this will start bringing some more changes to the overall outlook. And obviously, I'm just trying to catch up on some of the reading, what some of the media is talking about the race. And it seems like the exciting part with wrecks and different things were the last with 10 to go, you know, knocking people out and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, no, that's kind of when, you know, when we got a little mini big one there, which kind of lined everybody back up. It was funny. Chase Elliott and Alex Bowman started 1-2 for stage three, and that's how they finished 1-2 there. It's kind of ironic, ironic there. The one nice thing, you know, we saw this a little bit on Saturday, was stage one was very racy in both races, I thought. Stage two, as expected with plate racing and everybody just wanting to be able to be there towards the end, kind of single filed out, which, you know, we saw that at Daytona. We've seen that a lot lately at the plate racing, really since post-tandem racing, where these cars just get single file midway through just because they know what's coming. They know what's going to happen, 20 to go, 10 to go, 5 to go. Everyone's going to be, you know, 2 and 3 wide, back to, you know, on 30th, if you will. If you're still at top of the, if you're still with the lead draft, you know, you got a shot, you know, and not knowing what could happen, it just makes sense based, especially with the stages and how they're lined up. It just makes sense that they're going to go single file and basically log laps midway through, because why risk it, you know, at that point, you know, at least be in the race so that you got a shot at the race towards the end there. You know, and like I said, that was pretty much expected there. But
yeah,
go ahead.
I'll go cliche here, and you can't win the race on the first five laps, but you can certainly lose the race on the first five laps.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And so you're gonna see people hanging back, and you know the thing you missed on I enjoyed seeing on the stage one winner was Ty Dillon, Germain Racing.
Absolutely, he picked up his second stage win of his career, both within the last couple weeks of each other, which is really cool.
Yeah, and Brian made a point of it, and I think Chevrolet's actually a little bit, and they'll probably admit they're late to the game on this, is I'll use a Formula One term in team orders.
Who? What?
Team. Yeah, exactly. But manufacturer's orders.
Yes.
Get in line. Stay in line. Your part, we're right. I don't think it may have been as blunt as this. We're writing the check.
Well, I believe I'm pretty sure I heard on the broadcast that Chevy met with all of the teams.
Exactly. You know, no, it's exactly
that's,
right.
And that's, you know, and I'll get cliche here a little bit. That's kind of like maybe like the captain of your team in baseball, maybe having a players only meeting, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, it was a manufacturer team Chevy meeting, you know, hey, we are getting destroyed here by Toyota and Ford. They've won every race so far, you know, and granted, it's Talladega. Anything could have happened, you know, so they may not have won. You know, there's a good chance they wouldn't have. But, you know, it sure as hell is a good momentum booster going forward.
Right. And you saw at one point where I think it's coming out of right at the start of stage three, or maybe it's one of the last restarts, Kurt Busch, Kyle Busch right together. Kurt's pushing Kyle out of the way.
Absolutely.
It is a Chevy thing.
Yes.
And then I'm looking at the final standings, and it's 2, 4, 5. Five of the top 10 were Chevys, one Toyota, and Kyle Busch.
Yep. Well, and, you know, and what I really like, you know, again, it's my love-hate with plate racing. You got rookie Ryan Preece finished third. Rookie Daniel Hemric, who moved up from the Xfinity Series this year, in fifth. Brendan Gaughan with an 8th
yes.
finish. You had Matt DiBenedetto, who I'm a big fan of. He's been a big supporter of the show. He was up there. He was racing for the lead, as he has at many plate races. When it, you know, the big one happens, and boom, you know, he finishes 31st. And you had Justin Haley, who made his Cup debut, and was, I think he finished 11th in stage one. I mean, this kid was keeping the car clean at Talladega. Wrong place, wrong time, you know, and finished 32nd. And then you got guys like Jimmy Johnson finished 33rd. Kevin Harvick, who's a good plate racer, gets caught up in a wreck on lap 11 and finishes 38th, you know. So, I mean, that's the excitement. That's what, you know, it's, you know, everyone knows I'm a wrestling fan. Plate racing is the cage match of NASCAR. It's your cliche race. It's your attention grabber, and there's just enough of them. There are four. If they add a fifth plate race in the, or tapered spacer race to make a race more like this, you know, I think that's too many. You know, I'll deal with the two Daytonas and Talladegas because it's tradition.
And think about what your big races are, though.
Absolutely.
You know, they're, you know, I think fans really want to see that craziness that brings with plate racing. Now, if you're a fan of a guy who's dominated on season, no, you probably don't want to see that. But if you're a person who wants to see parity and stuff, yeah. I mean, I like plate racing just because it did. You know, it does open the things up that anything and any is possible. And sometimes you have to see a little bit more different strategy. Obviously, avoiding the big one or avoiding somebody's stupidity is one. But also some more, you got to work together a little bit better, you know, drafting and all that kind of stuff that sometimes may not be there at a intermediate or even a short track.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think what you just said there kind of ties back into, you know, the Team Chevy meeting. Hey, this is a race where we can work together and it can pay off to our advantage. And it did. Chase Elliott broke the Joe Gibbs Racing Penske streak, adding HMS as one of the winning teams 2019 and getting Chevy their first win in 2019. So, yeah, I enjoyed this weekend of racing, and I am very excited for the Monster Mile this Sunday, May 5th, here at 2 o'clock from the Monster Mile. Eastern Standard Time, not Mountain Time there, sir. That's Eastern Standard Time, 2 o'clock for the Monster Mile.
For those of you who want to know Mountain Time, it's noon.
Noon. There you go.
Yes, for the sparsity of people in the Mountain Time Zone,
yes,
it's noon.
It's noon. All right, guys, hang tight just a second for me while I hit some social media here. Everyone, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at LapTrafficPC, and on Instagram, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Listen to the show on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, Acast, Spreaker, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Don't forget about the giveaway. So close. Less than 130 followers to go, and I am giving away that signed 124 diecast by Richard Childress Racing. And speaking of new followers, over on Twitter, Ron at Detroit Lions FN from Arizona. How about that draft, brother? Shannon at Fur Love Cats from Cala, Florida. Big NASCAR fan. Max at M Grim Meister, big fan of Matt D and Vikings fan. Skull. I know what you guys do. I've been to a few Vikings games. Jennifer at Big Grin 1 from Michigan and loves racing. And Brandon at Brandon Brown underscore 86 Xfinity Series driver. Hell yeah. Thanks for the follow, brother. And D at D underscore 57 from New York, big NASCAR and Yankees fan. Don't forget to check out the store, t-shirts, hoodies, travel mugs, you got that there, and stickers and koozies. If you want one, visit the website, fill out the contact page, and I will send one out to you for free. And don't forget autism. Wait, hold on. Let me start over there. April is Autism Awareness Month. Go check out the Support Autism link on the website. Learn about Freddie the Pizza Man and his 501c3 Detroit Charity Autism Program. He's putting sensory rooms in Metro Detroit schools, which is just incredible. He's helping with Yunker Motorsports. It's been a fun few months working with Freddie and Yunker Motorsports. My decal's on the car. I can't wait to go see that bad boy in person. So go check that out and put Lap Traffic in the message if you're able to donate or at least share. Tell your friends about it. It's an awesome cause. It's tax deductible, all that good stuff. And last but not least, go check out Michigan Sports and Entertainment. And speaking of great Michigan podcasts, the Red Wing season might be over. The NFL playoffs, though, are still underway. Here's a promo for the Rinkside Podcast, which you can listen on Michigan Sports and Entertainment, home of one of the original six.
Hey, I'm Zach.
And I'm Kevin.
And we're the hosts of the Rinkside Podcast.
We were annoyed by the lack of hockey coverage on local sports radio and decided that we were stupid enough to try and provide some ourselves.
We have what we call the Rinkside Guarantee. We guarantee that the podcast you're currently listening to is better than ours. We are literally just two halves of one whole idiot trying to fumble through covering the Detroit Red Wings, the National Hockey League, and hockey in general.
Check us out on Facebook and Twitter at Ringside Pod and subscribe to us on all your favorite podcast providers.
Every time you listen to our podcast, it brings us one step closer to our ultimate business goal of purchasing the Arizona Coyotes and then moving them to Detroit. What? Now, back to your regularly scheduled programming, or just another commercial. We aren't the ones who make those choices.
Very cool. Go check out the Rinkside Podcast, part of the Michigan Sports and Entertainment. And as Aaron was just mentioning, Stevie Y is back in Detroit. Hell yeah. Can't wait to hear what those guys have to say about that. All right. Business is done. He's not back again this week because he is already on. You can follow him on Twitter at RaceWeather and on the web at raceweather.net. Aaron Studwell. And for the first time ever, a dual forecast this week. You can follow Brian on Twitter at NASCAR underscore WXMan. Gentlemen, are you ready for some weather?
Oh, it's weather all this weather all the time here. I'm ready.
Yeah, exactly. That's all I do.
All right. For the first time since the end of March, we are going to get all three series weather this weekend, which I'm very excited about. But first, Aaron, tell everyone how you and Brian got hooked up with Race Weather.
I started about, and I'm going to let Brian come in on this too. I started about 16 seasons ago. And what season is this for you, Brian?
It's 11 now.
And I've been on Twitter. I just actually passed 10 years. So, and you're coming up on 10 years, correct?
That's awesome.
Well, I actually passed it. I started on Twitter. So it was 2008. I actually had to move NASCAR weather from my own personal one that was for work, because sadly I was losing followers, and then I had to create my own NASCAR weather one so I could keep the balance, if you will.
Nice.
That's right. I forgot about that. And it kind of started where I was tweeting and he was tweeting and we weren't coordinating. And it almost went back to the DW thing of co-opetition. We weren't cooperating. It was just more of a competition about who's going to get first. And we really got to a point where we couldn't do this anymore.
Gotcha. Nice.
Brian, go ahead and finish.
Oh, and it comes from the fact that there's a lot of mutual respect. You know, so yeah, at one point it was competition, but you know what? We didn't want to mislead fans. You know, at the end of the day, you know, we're hearing the same thing. Well, my app says this. Well, you know, we want to give this. First of all, our mission was the same for providing, and we're fan-centered. Yeah, we've got teams, we've got drivers, we've got media all following us. But at the end of the day, we're doing this for the fan because we are fans.
Sure.
And we know the experience of a track. We know what it's like to go and have to deal with the elements. And the bottom line is we want the fans to have a great time so they'll go back.
Yeah, and we just love the sport. And we honestly, if every single forecast was sunny in 75, you know what? That's perfect. I go on at the beginning of the week. I update the website. We go out and tweet it. We put it on Patreon. And we just wash our hands to it. And it's like yesterday, hey, let's talk racing. And that's all we need to do. We don't need to talk weather.
Sure.
Unfortunately, it's not always that easy.
Yes, yes. Hashtag Pocono, #MIS.
Honestly, and I think maybe Aaron's a little bit different. If we have a weekend that's bad weather and it's constantly raining, I'll actually just sit at my computer. I'll turn off the programming because, number one, I don't want to hear what's going on or in a rain delay. So I'll just sit and I'll watch radar. And then typically Aaron and I are coordinating, like, okay, when are you thinking? We'll split the updates, but we're talking to each other. We're working. And it means I can't watch and enjoy a race. I'm sitting constantly, watching the radar or waiting for the announcer to misspeak about what is coming. And that's kind of another reason how, for me, NASCAR Weatherman got started, was because the information coming from the news side or the announcers was so bad. I'm like, no, come on. I got a degree. I'll let people know what's going on.
Sure.
Yeah, and we were actually in that situation, and we talked about it last week with Richmond, where the media is saying something and you hear Cole Custer's crew chief saying something and I'm like, okay, that's my cue to post and go ahead and do that. But I'm in the same mode as Brian is, where if I'm trying to watch the race and post, I struggle. And we talked about this too. And again, I'm not sure it's on or off air, where I struggle to try and keep social media updated if I'm watching the race, in both the balance of weather, race commentary, and watch the race. And your hint of using a laptop rather than trying to do it on the phone actually worked.
Yeah, no, it became too much of, trying to, engage people, stay up to date while watching and make some notes so that I've got something to, you know, I don't miss something that, this awesome thing happened on lap 80 can get, you know, sidetracked real easy. So yeah, I have to have the laptop out. It just makes it way easier than trying to do all this with two thumbs basically on the phone.
Yeah, agreed.
All right, so let's get to some weather. This weekend was absolutely beautiful. And like I said, for the first time since the end of March, we got all three series. Brian, let's start with you. How is the weather looking for the truck race on Friday afternoon, evening?
Well, I'm thinking, because Aaron and I were talking beforehand, it's probably good that you have two meteorologists on for this show, because the way the forecast is going for Dover.
I love it.
Well, I made the joke to Brandon last week, when you put two meteorologists together, you're going to get three different forecasts.
That's true.
And you're literally going to have three different forecasts here, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Go ahead, Brian.
Let me check the app real quick. No, I'm just teasing. I wish we had it.
I sent him a picture off my app earlier. I so no, I mean, off my app too.
Yeah. I'm this close to blocking Aaron at this point.
you got to get in line for that one.
So anyway, so that's a note. If you send me, don't send me your app. I do my own work, okay? Just do me a favor, okay? I don't need to see what your app says, okay?
Okay. Can you tell the audience what my favorite response was you gave to somebody who sent you a picture of their app?
I forgot what it was.
The cookie one.
Oh, do you want a cookie or something like that?
So you sent them a picture of a cookie and say, here's a cookie, thanks for your help.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yes, because we can just be that way.
I'm in television, so I get that a lot, but, you know, and I really truly believe, and I know we're getting sidetracked, but, you know, I think people, especially with sporting events, NASCAR weather is kind of like Black Friday shopping. They think whatever gives them the best forecast, that's the one they want to go with. Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. You can't just go, oh, well, this app says this weather is going to be like this, so that's the forecast I'm going with. So
it's wish casting. Yeah. You wish for a forecast.
And I think sometimes that we try to almost counter that because we're fans. We want a nice – I mean, I've had some fans, and probably Aaron has gotten this too, where fans say, you want bad weather because it helps your numbers. I'm not going to lie. They are true. If we have bad weekends or bad big NASCAR races and weather's bad, yeah, we get a lot more followers. But honestly, it means more work for us. So we'd really just prefer study all the time.
And we don't – we hardly monetize this. I mean, we have our Patreon feed. But this, you know, we don't, there's no monetization on this. Sure. I have the website, but the money I get on advertising revenue supports the site and the back end of it. So I don't see a check from that. We do this. And Brian said earlier, we do it for the fans and we do it because we love NASCAR and we love weather, and guess where it intersects? Right on Twitter.
I love it.
So get back to what you're saying. So, I mean, and Aaron will talk about this. This seems to be the trend all week, and it really just depends on. Right now, the models we look at going out are, and this is where we start to have to think about things, they're diverging, as we would say in the industry, meaning one's got one solution, one's got another solution, they kind of contradict. So I'm going to at least say for Friday, and Aaron will continue going on to that, but at least at this point, and I think the general weekend should be, we're going to prepare for the worst and hope for the best kind of a situation. I think definitely want to be prepared for showers going into Friday evening. So you're definitely going to want to keep an eye. We're going to have to be doing a lot of updates starting as soon as Wednesday from the both of us to keep fans updated as they get ready to head to Dover. So we're starting with the truck race Friday. You know, we're looking at the possibility of showers and thunderstorms. To take the odds of racing, I would put it on the less than 50%, only because of what I'm seeing right now. And I want to stress, right now, a lot of this can change, especially when you got systems moving in and timing of all of that. But let's go odds of racing right now, a 40% for the truck race, only based on information and what we're kind of seeing with that threat going into Friday.
And it's early. We are doing this early. We're doing this Monday night. So obviously things can change there. All right, Aaron, let's move over to Saturday and the Xfinity race.
A Saturday in the Xfinity race, it's another situation where we're watching these systems move across the region. And from model run to model run, we're seeing variation. But I'm a bit more optimistic that if Brian's forecast happens, we may actually be able to get a bit of a doubleheader in. But we're going to see rain early on Saturday. It looks like it'll clear out with just a chance of afternoon showers, possible thunderstorms. But if we have to have a doubleheader on Saturday, I think we might be able to work that in between a few raindrops.
Fantastic. All right, Brian, Cup race Sunday afternoon.
Well, this one, at least as of the forecast, as we're recording this, it looks better. So we're looking at clouds and sunshine. There is a chance, as we go into Sunday, for a chance of a shower, but it's smaller. It's lower. So at this point, we're going to mention a chance of a shower, but we'll go odds of racing somewhere between 70 and 80%, but definitely looking on the upswing of things on the optimistic side if things get through and play out, where it sounds like right now Friday's your wettest day, clearing out for the weekend. But obviously timing and this kind of stuff can change, so that's why you need to follow both Aaron at RaceWeather and myself at NASCAR_WXMAN on Twitter, because I think this one's going to keep us on our toes, and we never like rain showers, but – again, I'd rather adjust to the good than have to adjust downward to the bad.
Look at that segue there. Look at that. That was nice. You must do this for a living or something.
I've got a little bit of experience.
And here, I'm just a hack getting a PhD. Don't mind me.
That's it makes two of us. Oh. Gentlemen, this was a lot of fun. As Brian said, make sure you're following Aaron on Twitter at RaceWeather and Brian at NASCAR_WXMAN. Gentlemen, look forward to your updates on Twitter this weekend. This was a blast. Brian, I promise you it will not be as long of a gap between appearances on the show. This was fun, and we will talk to you both very soon.
Well, thank you so much. He's always
good.
Oh, I said thank you. That's all. Thank you for always for having
me. Absolutely.
There you go. Absolutely fantastic time.
Yes.
And I'm sitting here nodding with what Brian was saying out through the whole thing. So if you hear like this little rattling in the background, it's just me.
nice.
No, but fantastic time. Great show. Brian, I'm glad we can get you on. Brad, glad he can get you on. This is his show. I'm just along for an 8-minute ride.
It does seem to be that way. It's typically 8 to 10 minutes without fail each time. So we've got that down pat, and definitely we'll make this happen sooner rather than later, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Have a great night.
See ya.
Thank you, Sam. Sounds good.
Lap Traffic Nation, I hope you guys enjoyed that. A little different race talk there. That was so much fun having those guys on. We'll definitely do that again. I got to think you guys are going to enjoy that. A lot of fun talking to Aaron and Brian there. And that was a fun weather segment for sure. So thanks again, guys, for calling in. Aaron will be back on next week with his weather forecast for Kansas and recap Dover, which sounds like it could be a little wet early in the weekend, but hopefully everything will work out just fine. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, it is time for some lucky dogs of this past weekend from Talladega. You guys dialed it in this week. Lots of tweets, couple extra phone calls. It's freaking awesome. I love it. You guys know the drill by now. Send your lucky dog and lap down picks after the checkered flag drops, or you can call the Wave Around hotline 248-965-9538. Leave your picks there. I'll play, read them back on the show, tag you guys in some tweets. All right, I'm going to get right into my picks from this past weekend. Lucky dog, how is it not Chase Elliott? I'm giving it to Chase Elliott. So Chase getting my lucky dog, my lap down. Commercial placement is my lap down. Listen, it's professional sports, right? We get commercials. We complain about it in football, baseball to a degree. I know I see some chirping about that. And, of course, NASCAR. We complain about the commercials. Listen, obviously, we all know commercials are going to happen. You know how many you've got to play and get in through the race. And it'd be one thing if it was a mile and a half track and the leader's got a 10-second lead that, all right, you're going to go to commercial, 20, 25 to go, whatever. But at a place like Talladega, Daytona, when there's 20, 25 to go, that's when it's getting real. So they could have definitely done a much better job there. All right, let's get to your tweeted responses. David at DFlint14's lucky dog. Brennan gone for his top 10 finish. Good call there, sir. Lap down is Keselowski for nearly wiping out his gas man and unintentionally giving his crew some practice for Watkins Glen. Nice. I like that. Mick at GoDucks42_Mix. Lucky dog. Chevy's first win. Lap down. He got nothing. Rowdy at the Rowdy Dragons. Lucky dog is the siren at the pool hall. I got a little siren for you there, and congrats to Chase, as well as Team Chevy for Rowdy's lucky dog. Lap down goes to the four team of Kevin Harvick. His hauler was spotted leaving the track very early during the race. Never a good day. Matt at MVecchio81's lucky dog. He's got two. First, Tyler Reddick for everything he dealt with on Saturday, still coming out with the win. And Kyle Larson for walking away from that massive wreck on the final lap. That was definitely scary. Lap down, Bubba Wallace for the wreck he caused early on in the day. Linda at RacingGal_FL's lucky dog has to be none other than Larson. That was one scary ride, and to walk out of it as well as he did. Scott at 1985, Wagner's Lucky Dog, Chase Elliott, and Suarez on the win. And Suarez for keeping it up there. Lap down, Harvick and Byron, bad luck early and late. Fred at Fred Rosado's Lucky Dog, 17, Stenhouse Jr. for another speed rate crash, but this time only took himself out, not half the field. Fred's lap down. There's a trend here. 17 Stenhouse for another super speedway crash and at least 10 over aggressive moves that almost caused the big one. You know, he definitely goes for it at Talladega and Daytona. You know, part of that's got to do with it. It's the only few places he's got a shot to do it with the, you know, way things have gone over there. Jesse at Iowa NASCAR fans, Lucky Dog, Chase and Chevy, perfect way to end the drought. Lap down, Fox for going to commercial with 15 to go under green, inexcusable. I agree. Eddie at EG3 underscore Fast Eddie's Lucky Dog, Greg Golden, good call. Let's see, terrific run, ended up finishing in the runner-up spot to the defending series champ Tyler Riddick. Lap down, another trend here, Fox, the commercials, especially with less than 25 to go where the race is up for grabs. I agree. And Dean might have had the picks of the week here. I like this. Dean at Dean Aders, Lucky Dog, Hooters. First time I ever go to Hooters and got 10 free wings. Hashtag thanks, Chase. Lap down. Dean's giving himself the lap down because he took his wife and he made the mistake of saying, I love the breasts and the legs. Hashtag my head still hurts. You won't make that mistake again, will you, Dean? All right. Love the picks. Let's get to the calls on the Wave Around Hotline.
Hey Brandon, it's Max. Giving a call back, watching the two Talladega races. I thought both races were really exciting, really fun to watch. It was unfortunate we tore up some cars in the Cup race there late. Some scary accident with Jeffrey Earnhardt and Kyle Larson, and more bad luck for Kyle Larson, which is unfortunate. Overall, though, I thought, you know, maybe there was going to be more accidents, which I didn't want to see, but I'm glad we didn't see as many as we did. I'll just go right into it. Lucky Dog, Chevrolet. I mean, they've been the slow poke of the 2019 season, and to be getting organized and getting the job done. Chase Elliott winning on Sunday. Tyler Reddick winning on Saturday. Great for Chevrolet. Lap down. I'm going to lean toward maybe an underdog kind of pick, but so much speed when I was watching practice and qualifying from Front Row Motorsports. And I know bad luck caused it, but just bad luck for Front Row. I'm going to give them the lap down, and that's probably going to be your first your Excel spreadsheet where you're keeping track. I'm going to add Front Row Motorsports with a one. So, all right. Thanks, Brandon. Twitter handle M Grimmeister at M Grimmeister. All right. Thank you. Bye.
Hey, Max. Thanks so much for calling in. It's been a while. Glad you called back in. Man, you know, you mentioned the wrecks. Jeffrey Earnhardt up there racing for the lead, and then boom. Gets caught up in one. Got to agree, Chevy. And, I think I am going to have to add another row there for lap downs with your Front Row pick. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. All right, let's get to another call on the Wave Around Hotline.
Hey, Brandon. John Warrington at Racing_64. Talladega has come and gone, and we had a great show this weekend. I would say the Cup race was more exciting than the Xfinity race, but that wasn't bad either. One thing I noticed, not to do with a lucky dog or a lap down, but I thought it was funny under the red flag when they were handing out bottles of water that they cut the labels off. No free advertising for anybody. So just one little odd thing I noticed. For lucky dog, I'm going to say Gray Galding. And I'm not a Gray Galding fan, but to come and do what they did, they qualified good, ran up front, got I know it's Talladega, but still, they did great. And as a card collector, seeing Panini on that car is really cool to see. So he's going to be my lucky dog. Lap down, I am going to give to the Front Row Motorsports of Michael McDowell and Matt Tift for McDowell unintentionally taking out his teammate with that belly pan coming off and getting stuck in the nose like that. And the rest of the car seemed to be fine, but they could get that thing stuck out of the grill. So that's going to be my lap down. And next week we'll go see what the monster has for us. See you later.
Oh, John, thanks for calling in. How funny is that? Max calls in, goes, hey, you got to add front row to your lap down for the spreadsheet. And John back-to-back calls gives front row the lap down. So, hey, at least there's two ticks on it now. All right, let's get to the third call on the Wave Around Hotline.
Hey, Brandon, it's Kathleen. Yet again, we've had another weekend of really good racing. Racing at Daytona and Talladega always give us a chance to see a bunch of underfunded teams get good finishes, and I really, really enjoy that. Hopefully they get some extra coin in their pocket and bask in the sunshine a little bit. Again, Talladega and Daytona are good for that. So, anywho, my lucky dog this week, not only because I picked him for my fantasy pick, but it's Tyler Reddick because he had some troubles all throughout the race, but he was able to overcome. He got to the front. He was able to hold off the charging rest of the pack. And it was just so much fun watching that last lap or so as he was slicing and dicing, trying to keep everybody at bay. So that was really exciting. He had the race of his lifetime there. So I was glad that he was able to win that one. My lap down has to go to poor Omar, the fellow who showed up at the track with a big bouquet of flowers to meet up with his lady Amber, who he's apparently been talking to on Facebook for like 2 years, but never actually met in person. I'm sure everybody saw the story if they were watching on TV. Apparently, we still don't know if he ever found her. As if being catfished isn't bad enough, the whole saga was documented on the big screen at the track, thanks to Monica Palumbo. So that was a really funny story, but, geez, how could you be so dumb? Anywho, that's all I got for this week. Talk to you later. Bye.
Oh, Kathleen, catfish getting a lap down. I love that. That was funny. I did see that. I'm glad you brought that up. That was good there. And Tyler Reddick, like I said a little bit ago, man, I thought he was going to slam the car into the wall. He was blocking so hard there. Definitely an awesome race there. Thanks for calling in. Look forward to your call next week. All right, one more on the Wave Around Hotline.
What's up, Brandon? Man, what a race we just saw on Sunday. What a race. I'm not a big fan at all of, you know, quote, restrictor plate racing. I know it's a little different now. But that package was really, really fun to watch. Constant lead change. Well, yeah, constant, but a lot of lead changes, a lot of passing back and forth. You can fall to the back of the pack and you can, you know, reasonably work your way up. And we really haven't seen that as much in the post-tandem era of restrictor plate racing. So it was a little bit refreshing to see that. We really didn't tear too much shit up till the end, which is good to see. That's my biggest issue with this style of racing, but it was a fairly clean race. Yeah, it got aggressive at the end with some things, and unfortunately Larson flipped over, which I wonder, and this is just me saying things, I don't know anything about aerodynamics, but I wonder if that spoiler might or might not have had something to do with it. Could be. I could be completely off, but, you know, could have just been damaged and the air got under the car. It's just the way it is. I was so happy Chase won. I was screaming, tooting and hollering like a maniac in my house, and everyone's probably like, the hell's he yelling at this time? My only complaint about the race is how it ended. That's my lap down is the finish. I don't like to see races end under caution, no matter what. I know we don't want to rerun them and do a one-lap shootout like they used to do in ARCA, but I feel a little bit cheated, you know, witnessing that awesome race, only for it to be a poor finish like that. You know, I don't want to see a race end at a random spot on the racetrack. I want to see all races end at start-finish, and There's just nothing NASCAR could do. They had to throw a caution, whether it was for the debris or the accident, whatever. They really screwed that one up. But that's my only complaint. Lucky dog. I'm going to put all the Chevrolets as a lucky dog. I don't know if this really means much next week at Dover as we go to Kansas, but they ran awesome at Talladega. It was cool to see them work together. $10 pitchers of beer last week is also my lucky dog because you can't beat that. And that's about all I got this week, man. You have a good one.
Mr. Andrew Cansey, and thank you for calling in, sir, as always. I am with you on the finish. I think it would be cool. They start the race at the start finish. They don't start the race on the backstretch or anything like that, obviously. So it would be nice to get a guaranteed finish at the start finish. We could do a whole show on why or why nots on those sorts of things. But I'm with you there. I feel you. And it's funny you mentioned that, post-tandem racing. I mentioned that a little while ago. And I think it's funny. I don't listen to these voicemails until I play them, which is really cool that, Lap Traffic Nation agrees with me on some things there, which is fantastic. All right, that is going to be a wrap for the Lucky Dog and Lap Down segment this week. And it is time to close this out with some fantasy. There are only 4 races to go in segment 1, so make sure you get your picks in by 5 o'clock. Keep the Twitter interaction up, all that good stuff. 9 players picked Tyler Riddick and 5 picked Chase Elliott. Nice job there, guys. Week high was 108 points by Danny Litwin and Luke Kimmett, who each picked both race winners of Riddick and Elliott. Nice job there. And second week high with a big drop off. Normally it's pretty close. Normally it's, within 5 or 10 points. But second week high was a difference of 22 points in 86 with their picks of Logano and Riddick was David Mullins and Rob Keplinger. An honorable mention to Lisa Chinana on Twitter, who is working really hard to get me to upload a video karaokeing because of her calling the second place sweep for Bowman in both stages and the race. So good call there. Yeah, maybe have you pick my DraftKings or something like that. But yeah, definitely was not going to be uploading a video karaoke, but good effort. I applaud that. My picks, Allgaier, Keselowski got me a whopping 47 total there. And over to the top 10 in standings. For the second week in a row, Matt Crowd with 982. Robert Keplinger in second with 979. Greg Whited in third with 974. Brad Carnes in fourth with 962. The MOATF podcast, who I will get to in a minute, is in fifth with 959. Jess Rose is in sixth with 949. Ted Anderson in seventh with 946. John Entwistle in eighth with 942. Mick Rose in ninth with 933. And Rob Nebinger wraps out the top 10 with 910 points. Still pretty close. I'd say, if you're in the top 5 or 6, you still might have a shot at it. That said, MOATF on their show yesterday, calling me out per usual, addressing my hashtag beat MOATF that I put in the email each week, and congratulating the top 4 that are ahead of the MOATF podcast. So keep that up, guys. David said that he was very much looking forward to my response to their show today. Well, here is my response. I'm going to give you guys 4 weeks to get all the good, shots that you could muster up and bring to the table, because I'm inviting the MOATF podcast to make the picks with me on the show to start segment 2, because we'll be restarting everything. There won't be a leader for the first week, and it's going to be the only time they're going to be able to call in all year. So I figured, let's have them call in to make picks to start segment 2. So, do what you got to do. If you guys got to take a couple weeks off, to put together some good comebacks to me and to the other players, take your time and let me know if you accept the invite there. And that said, it is time to get to the picks this week, and let's get the leader, my uncle, Mr. Matt Crown, on the line. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, back on the line for the second week in a row, or third week if you ask him, because he is counting the off week. He is still atop the leaderboard with a 3-point lead over previous leader Rob Keplinger. Back on the line, Mr. Matt Crowd. Sir, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful, and 3 points is just as good as, you know, like they say in baseball, a blooper looks like a line drive in the book.
Absolutely. The base hits a base hit.
I made it through Talladega, so that was the, you know, big question.
That definitely was the potential asterisk, for sure. What'd you think of the racing?
They were good. I liked the tightness of it all. You know, they weren't all strung out during the whole race, so that was good. You know, not the right guys got wrecked, but that's okay.
All right. Well, are you ready to make some picks?
Sure. Yeah, let's make some picks.
Let's do it. Lap Traffic Nation, we are headed to the Monster Mile this weekend, where our most recent winner is some guy named Chase Elliott. Apparently, he won a race this past weekend or something. Could he get Chevy their first back-to-back win since 2017? Can Chase Elliott get his first back-to-back set of wins ever? Dover's been kind of Chevy's playground. They went on a tear, 6 races in a row at Dover from spring 2013 to fall 2015. And Chevy's won 8 of the last 12. If Chevy started to peak at the right time, Ford has not had much success in victory lane at Dover. Kevin Harvick, who won the spring race last year, was the first Ford to win at Dover since Matt Kenseth back in 2011. And Toyota, well, we know who won the races, JGR, and Kyle Busch has 3 wins at the Monster Mile. And hey, what about Jimmy Johnson? He's on a 69 race, a winless streak, spring 2017 Monster Mile, his last win. Can he put something together and pick up his 12th Monster Mile victory? We will find out Sunday, but first, it is time for our picks. Over to my uncle, Mr. Matt Crowd. Who is your pick for the Truck Series?
Well, you know, I should probably ask what your picks are so I know who not to take.
You will find out after yours, sir.
Yeah, right. Well, I'm going to play it safe a little bit with the trucks and the Xfinity. I'm going to go with Johnny Sauter in the trucks.
All right. You are safe so far because I am taking Grant Enfinger.
Cool.
All right, you're good so far. 1-for-1, you're good. Over to the Xfinity Series. Who you got?
Xfinity, I think I'm going – I forgot who I'm taking. I'm going to go – again, I'm going to play safe. I waffled between Allgaier and Bell. I'm going to go Christopher Bell.
Bell, all right. You are 2-for-2 with being safe. I'm going outside the box a little bit. I'm going with John Hunter Nemechek and see how that works for me there. Over to the Cup Series, sir. Who you got?
Here's where I'm going to take a little bit of a chance. He should have won last year, I think, and he's been good, you know, top tens, I think, all year. I'm going Clint Bowyer.
Clint Bowyer, I like that pick. You are safe. You are 3-for-3. I'm going with Kyle Busch. So nice job there. Those are our picks, Live Traffic Nation. Cannot wait to see who you guys take. Matt, thanks again for calling in, and who knows, maybe we'll talk to you again next week.
Oh, I think so.
I like the cockiness. All right. All right, Matt, we'll talk to you later.
All right, have a good one.
You too. See ya. Well, last week I had to play the picks music twice to get through it all. All right, we got through it one play this time. All right, nice job. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, that is going to do it for episode 124 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, @LapTrafficPC. Subscribe, download, review the show on iTunes, Podbean, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Go check out the Freddy the Pizza Man's Autism Charity Link on the website. April's Autism Awareness Month. It's April 30th. Go check it out. Don't forget about the contest. 3,500 Twitter followers giving away the diecast. So close. Big thanks to Todd Gilliland, Aaron Studwell, Brian Newdorf, and Matt Crowd for calling in. Next week, from Speedway Media, Briar Starr's calling in. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya.